It's now exactly 5:15, so we can start. Being blinded, we're always on time. So welcome. I didn't know if we were going to get 7 or 70. We're obviously a little closer to 7, not here. I think what we want to do, we've got an hour. We've got a couple of experts here, and we want to keep just a very short, maybe 15, 20-minute overview of people's blogging and what they've found valuable. And you know, people in the room as well who consult on this in various ways, and then we can just have a discussion and talk about next steps. So my name's Ian Griffin, and if you get Speaker Magazine, this is the first article I had published, I think, since high school. To blog or not to blog, and it was very timely because I got pulled in when other people were, they called you and they called a few people, and I was like the last guy in the room. Anyway, I wrote this, and as with all things, it's got very limited practical advice, but we've had quite a bit of comment about it. A couple of people joined. The two things I'll point out is there's a Yahoo group which is listed on the article, and I also have handouts at the back, and one of them has the details about how to join the Yahoo group, and there's about 89. We don't limit that to NSA members, so it's anybody. It's called NSA bloggers, I think.
Is it though mostly NSA bloggers?
It's 70%.
You know, everybody on SpeakerNet is
And that's one resource, and then there are other things. There are other discussion boards out there. There's a LinkedIn bloggers Yahoo group. There's My Reagan, which Reagan is a executive communications kind of corporate communications group. They have a blogging group, and then there's a whole ton of stuff out there on the internet, obviously. But what we can do today is do personal stuff. In terms of the National Speakers Association, on my blog, which is the other hand, I wasn't sure we had a laptop. Ideally, we'd have a laptop and a picture. But I've actually got down the right column, as many people do in blogs, what's called a blog roll. And I have two. I'm a professional speechwriter, so I have some to do with speechwriting. And then underneath that, I've tried to create a list of all of the official members. You know, if you're a member of NSA, you're on nsaspeaker.org. So if you're there, I can find you there, and you've got a blog. So like Jason in the second row has his blog. He's a cartoonist, and it's called Escape Adulthood. Yeah. So I've found around just under 50 names. Now, there might be another 150 people because I haven't gone through everybody's website, all 4,000 people, to see if they've got a blog. But through word of mouth and so on, this is, as far as I know, a cardinal list of all the NSA members who blog. And hopefully I'm wrong, and there are another 50 I can add to it. This is on my website, but it's also on the handout. So if you want to know who else in the National Speakers Association is blogging, what they're doing, there's a list there that's online as well. And that's my introduction. So why don't we also introduce Rebecca?
Okay. I'm Rebecca Morgan, and I'm CSP CNC, and I run SpeakerNet News. Most of you know put me from that. And I have two blogs. Do you want me to talk about that now or later?
Yeah, just mention it. Mention the name so they can orient.
Okay. And so the first blog you can get to from the RebeccaMorgan.com site, and it's called Grow Your Key Talent, which is my focus in my professional hat. And then my other blog is the new area that I'm starting, and that's called DatingGoddess.com. And from that, I run Adventures in Delicious Dating After 40, the Dating Goddess's Guide to Yummy Midlife Dating. And we'll talk more about that, because that's the one that really has gotten tremendous, amazing stuff in the last year. So,
and you create at least an entry a day.
A day, yeah.
Yeah, so
every day I write.
And then the reason I'm here, and I think the reason many of the others are here, is last year's NSA conference, we had an official breakout session on blogging.
We did.
That you led,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And from that, there was a lot of people in the room there.
Yeah, I did it for the winter workshop first and in D.C., and then they asked me would I do it again for the convention. So I of course, said absolutely love to, so I did. My name's Kim Snyder. I'm in Dallas. I'm in the financial education business. I also have two blogs. The first one is more of a thought blog. Its purpose is to really establish us as leaders in our field in terms of what Simon last night called, you know, original thinking or an original voice. And the name of that is Communications, spelled with a K-I, K-I-M-M-U-N-I-C-A-T-I-O-N-S, Communications. And then I have a second blog, which is called The Snyder Insider. And that is really more specifically aimed at our clients who are our students, although it does have things that are relevant to other people as well, but it's a little bit more of a insider's blog than an external blog. So those are my two, and both of them are also available off by in the main navigation of my website, which is kimsnider.com, S-N-I-D-E-R.
So maybe by a show of hands, how many people in the audience actually have a blog?
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
Okay, and so there's 70%, the rest of you presumably are interested in starting one, okay. And, I mean, we could do all kinds of things like how many people on Typepad or WordPress, but maybe we'll get into that later on. Why don't we take maybe 5 to 7 minutes with Kim and with Rebecca, you can talk about more in depth. You've mentioned you've got two blogs, you know. What I thought we'd do is rather, we don't want to do the kind of really basic level. I mean, you did a great job last year.
And if I could just make a comment, I mean, the program that I did last year was literally step by step, click here, push this button, type this in, how to create a blog. And there were people, I know Shep Hyken sat in D.C. and made his blog as I talked. And by the time I was done, he had his blog up and running. So I know that's still available in the CMC or whatever that
right.
was.
Right, you can download
called.
The audio.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're looking for the nuts and bolts of how to create a blog, which is not what we're going to do in an hour, then I would suggest that. And then there's loads of stuff. I mean, on the Internet, of course, so...
And is yours TypePad?
Not just my
stuff. Who do you?
My blogs are both TypePad for now, but they won't be forever.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And so what I thought we'd do is keep, if you're really a total beginner, you know, as I said, you can download the audio from last year from Kim's session. But I think there's a lot of, there's a sort of philosophy of blogging, there's technology, there's a lot of issues we can just touch on, and maybe more from the practical experience. As Kim mentioned, she uses TypePad, which is at the most for $5 a month or something for a blog.
Yeah.
I mean, it's minimal. I use, not because I'm cheap, but I use the free version of WordPress. It's hosted on my own website, and I'm actually doing a session with, if you know, not Randy Gage, who's the other guy who we had in,
Fred Leek.
Sorry, I buzzed ball. Fred Leek, who does a lot of info products, is interviewing me on Friday on the way I've driven. My blog's called Executive Communications. I'm a speech writer, and the most speech writing departments in large corporations are called the Executive Communications Department. If you search for Executive Communications on Google, I come in as number 4 on the unpaid listing, purely because of my blog. Because I know before I started my blog, I was on like page 20. But because I've done a couple of hundred blog entries and people have linked to it, because on my blog software is on my URL, it drives the two up. I'm not sure that happens on TypePad.
It does as long as you use domain mapping.
Yeah, there's a little trick, so you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
I have a little more control over that. But I wouldn't advise WordPress.org unless I've got some technical friends who help me, because you're your own system administrator. And you use WordPress.com.
Yes.
Yeah, which is like TypePad.
Right.
So there's a little confusion there. And there's a third one called Blogger, which, you know, it's good to think about, but I think TypePad and WordPress are the two.
Squarespace seems to be a new entry.
Mm. Squarespace.
And okay. since Google bought Blogger, it's gotten better.
Yeah. So... Rebecca, why don't you talk a little bit about more what you found in a couple of years?
Okay, so I started my Grow Your Key Talent blog last May 8th, I think it was, because I led a teleseminar through SpeakerNet with Tom Gray, who walked us through how to do this. So while I was interviewing him, I did it online so that I could show people how to do it, and he walked us through very carefully. So by the end of the hour, I had my blog up. So I did that one for a little while, and then my mastermind group decided that I should be writing on this, on the Dating Goddess thing. So a little while later, I started the datinggoddess.com site with the intention of it becoming my book. So it became my morning pages. That's why I write every day. That's why you grimace when you say, every day. It's because that was systematic. I had an idea of what I wanted to write for what many chapters of the book, which is now being pitched to publishers in New York. So I now have over 400 entries. So really, it's almost 4 books worth. So the discipline of taking 10 or 15 minutes a day to write a blog entry has yielded big time, and I will create more products from it. I will record them, and anyway, we can get into that later. But when I set up Dating Goddess, one of the things to figure out my Technorati tags was I went and did the keyword search, and I said, what are people searching for in my silo? And I knew I would never get to the top of things like internet dating, but I could be the top of things like if you do dating after 40, I'm number 2 and number 8 on the natural searches without ever having done anything. But again, it's the blogs that allowed me to do that. So by having my Technorati tags, it has created a groundswell of media. I've been on television, I've been on radio, I've been in the Wall Street Journal twice, I'm the go-to gal for the San Jose Mercury News on dating because of a blog, which I have 8 other books, and it's anonymous. My blog is anonymous. So they don't link Rebecca Morgan and Dating Goddess. So it, like all of that other credibility doesn't play in bringing me traffic to the blog. And what's been a miracle for me is how you can start having some credibility in a topic that I had written nothing before last May. Nothing. And within a year, I've had television, radio, Wall Street Journal twice, you know, major publishers looking at a book. And that's, I don't know any other way, because if you do a static website, you're not going to get that sort of notoriety quickly. And the other thing it's done for me is I look very closely at how my traffic comes in, and I go back to where those links come from, and then I do blog roll links with those people. I swap blog love, you know, if they're related to me, because people mention my postings in their postings, and they link me in. Hold that thought. And what I also learned about blog rolling was I was advised to take the, like, Ian's blog and Tim's blog off of my blog roll and have a separate page that is other related blogs or other blogs of interest, like Paulette's blog is on there. Because if you put on your blog roll blogs that aren't related to your topic, it doesn't give you Google juice. But if you have outgoing links that are specific to your topic, you're again seen as an expert. So I took them up and put them on a separate page. Oh, and the other thing I do is I look at the keywords that people search to find my blog, and then I can write to those keywords. And what, I mean, this, Sam Horn and I created this term called being a hit hoe. Because I stumbled upon the idea of putting important people's names in your title. So I was watching Dancing with the Stars, and I had an epiphany about dating, watching Anton Ono and drooling. So I wrote about Apollo Anton Ono, and I got so many hits that day. I couldn't believe it. I said, what's going on? And then, it's because people are searching for Dancing with the Stars and for Apollo. So I don't know how much stickiness there was, but certainly I got exposed to a lot more people than I would have if I hadn't been hit ho and really, you know, looked for that sort of thing. So shall we take her question? Or you want
to? Yeah.
It's related to the fact that you're anonymous. Even when you're interviewed for the Wall Street Journal,
some journalists will need to use my name and some don't.
And what about for your book?
I'll have to have both for my book. But
both your name or someone else's name? I mean,
No. I'll, because it's the Dating Goddess's Guide, so I'll be Rebecca Morgan,
okay,
a.k.a. Dating Goddess.
Yeah.
Most blogs, I don't think, are anonymous. Right? Most people have their name. Like,
exactly.
You use your name, and that's my point.
Yeah. And usually for marketing, I mean, what's the point if you're anonymous?
Although the dating, I can see why there might be reasons you don't want everybody in San Jose.
Well, and I didn't want, because I've dated 76 men in 2.5 years. And so I didn't want, and actually...
Not sticking.
You don't know which... Actually, the last 3 months, the last 6 months, I've only dated 3 because I was in a relationship with several of them. So I've slowed down. But I just didn't want them to ever feel that they were research for my book. And so if they Google me, you know, I didn't want them to get this dating blog coming up.
But you don't have that problem.
I do not have that problem. You know, I think one of the most important things to realize about blogging is it is a tool. It's a very important tool in your toolbox. And it's not for everybody. You know, I heard Ian Percy say, you know, if one more person tells me I have to have a blog, I'm going to shoot somebody. So it isn't for everybody. I think the most important thing is to be very clear about what your objectives are, as you would with any piece of marketing that you're going to do. What are my objectives in creating this blog? And then really work towards that. So I created communications first. I created that in, 2002, I believe. Actually, early 2001, but late 2002. And played with it for a while to try and understand before I got really serious about it. My goals, my business model is a little unique in that I am local. My customers, for the most part, all come from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Anyone who comes in, I do have people who fly in from all over the world, but they come by word of mouth, not because I do any marketing outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. Everyone comes to me. I'm in the public seminar business. I teach people how to invest their money. So for me, I was trying to accomplish a couple of things, really. One, I was not interested in internet search results. That was not that meaningful to me. I have a radio show in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you know, I'm fairly well known in Dallas, and so I drive people to my website and to my blog off of my radio show, which is also it's a little bit different sort of a thing. And typically, when I'm talking about a topic on the radio show, for example, or I am interviewing a professor of economics or somebody, I can't get the whole thing on the show, so I use the blog as an extension of all the other things that I am doing. So you want to hear more about this, you go to my blog and you read the entire article. Or you hear you pick up my podcast, which is also on iTunes, but you can get it off of my blog, of the entire interview with whoever my guest was on the radio show that week. That sort of thing. My objective was really to distinguish myself amongst our potential customers, because in the financial education business, the first thought that comes to mind is sleazeballs. You know, slimy, get rich quick, that sort of thing. So my objective was to very clearly establish that we were not anything like the first thing that pops into somebody's mind. And so when I say that blog was designed to create a thought leadership position, it's really designed to show that, you know, there's research behind what we do, there's academic, support for what we do, that it's not the same thing that you see on the infomercials at night. And the best way for me to do that is to write these articles and then get, you know, PhDs in economics and professors of economics and Nobel Prize winners and things to comment on my blog about things that I've written. That's what I was going for. So very different sort of objective. But and I think that's sort of the point, is that there are many different, you know, it's what you want it and need it to be. It can serve multiple purposes, not necessarily just to drive search engine traffic, although they're brilliant for that, of course. The other thing that I would say about mine is, and I noticed Chris Clark Epstein in the back of the room, her favorite mantra about write every day. That's what you said too. That was my thing too. Is I just did, you know, I had, like all of us, a tremendous amount of information that needed to get down on a piece of paper, and my blog was my discipline for doing that. I would force myself every single day, first thing I did before I did anything else, before I'd take one meeting, one phone call, sit down, write. And that was my way of doing that. And for me, it was a tool to repurpose content. So I would write. I would think onto my blog, just like you did, and then it became my newsletter articles. It became my radio show. It became the speeches that I gave. It, you know, whatever else I was doing, it all comes out of what I've written in the blog. I noticed I used the word was and did in the past tense. One of the most difficult decisions that I've had to make here very recently is I have stopped writing on my blogs.
Wow.
And the reason I did that is I have, you know, like most many NSAers, been trying to get my book done for, you know, years. And while I have all the content in my blog, the act of organizing it and putting it together still takes a tremendous amount of time. And I finally realized it was never going to get done. There's only so many words in a day. And the only way I was going to get it done was to stop writing and start organizing. So as painful as it was, because I'd worked for years to build the traffic on that blog, I chose to stop writing the blog last month and work on the book, and then I'll pick it back up as soon as the book is done. And when I said it is on TypePad, but it won't be, well, heck, I'm going to lose all my traffic anyway, so when I bring it back, I might as well change the URLs and stuff. So it'll be on my site, hosted on my site when I get done.
Why wouldn't you just cut down from daily posting to doing it once a week, twice a week, that sort of thing?
I could, I suppose, but I just... I don't really believe that I retain enough of the traffic to make it, you know, worth the effort, frankly. I think posting, you've got to really do it on a fairly regular basis, or you're just not going to ever get the kinds of numbers that you want.
So, I mean, the thing I'll mention is, as I say, for those who are coming late, I've got a printout over on the corner there of the front page of my blog. I'm a little different. I'm in the NSA because I'm a professional speechwriter. In fact, I work for Hewlett-Packard, who pay my expenses to come here, and so I owe them a couple of things. I owe them a trip report. If you ever work for a company, you know, you've got a team members. So last year in Orlando, I wrote probably 30 pages of it printed out on my blog, and then I just gave them the URL and said, okay, here's what I did the last week when I was in Orlando. And I don't have the need, like individual entrepreneurs. Many of you may be typical NSA members, kind of an individual entrepreneur. But there are people, I think, in the there's a whole world of corporate blogging. There's people who, Debbie Wheel has written a book on corporate blogging. For me, in the corporate world, I actually kept it very quiet. I was a little paranoid when I started that my manager would find out that, oh, he's not like focused on the day job all the time. And I get a little indulgent. I mean, if I see a nice movie, I'll write about it in my blog. I don't write about, you know, my cat and recipes. And some people do. It's generally around communications, but I interpret that to be, you know, the communication of artists or playwrights or movie directors. But what happened is about a year ago or 9 months ago, Hewlett-Packard, with 156,000 employees, have 40 employees who have a blog, which is ridiculous because Sun Microsystems, another computer company, have 30,000 employees and they have about 4,000 blogs. It's just the corporate policy. But when my manager found out that I had a blog and he said, well, what's it on? I said, well, speech writing. He goes, oh, and he's the VP of that area. And he looked at it and he immediately added it to the blog URL. So if you go to hp.com and search for blogs, you see my blog. So it hasn't hurt my career. I was actually paranoid it would, because I'd think, oh no, they'd see when I wrote about being an illegal alien when I first came to the which I did in one sit of craziness. So, there is definitely a feeling, the last thing I'll say is when I actually set up my blog software in October of 2005, and I didn't, well, whatever it was, a year and a half ago plus 4 months, and I didn't do the first entry until January 1. It was a New Year's resolution. And I'm a writer, you know, that's what I'm paid for. And I found the biggest difficulty for me was, like, what was my voice going to be? You know, how was I going to actually put Ian Griffin's view of the world where everybody else is going to... And it's like stepping out, you know, on stage maybe the first time. After doing it for a year and a half, I don't post every day because of my day job. I'd probably put twice a week, you know, sometimes, you know, the last entry before I came to Orlando, because I was on vacation for 2 weeks, was 2 weeks ago, and then I just did a podcast today using the PodPress that type. Here's an interview here with Nan Andrews Amish from Northern California, which I did. I'm moving more to podcasting because you don't need to type anything. You just record it, edit out the ums and ahs, and post it. But it's not instant. It's a little tricky. So we'll have questions, but I did want to hear, we've got Jason in the second row here, and of all the people, I've kept a list of all of the bloggers in NSA, and I've looked at many of the bloggers, and you've been doing it for what? How many years now? Four or five?
Yeah, 2002, I think.
So as long as... Could you just say, just for everybody in the audience, because I think what you're doing is you've got a pretty active business around the cartooning and the blogging.
My name's Jason, and I do a blog called Escape Adulthood, which is geared around helping people to use strategies from childhood to live life with less stress and more fun. So I started out as a cartoonist, and it just kind of started out as a journal, artist journal of, like, how do I come up with my ideas and things like that. And then as I started to move into the speaking realm and kind of pursuing this theme about, you know, annihilating adultitis, it just kind of turned into, similar to you, Rebecca, like kind of a venue for content, for talks, and my book and things like that. And so now it's actually the number one trafficked part of our website, which is actually quite large. We have an online store that has about 650 products on it, and obviously the comic strip is still going, so there's all kinds of stuff going on. So it's kind of a way, like the central nervous system of like, hey, anyone who likes what I'm doing, here's what we're doing kind of thing. So I, you know, kind of incorporate my cartoon into it and my design, and yeah. And just kind of, it's all geared around the same theme though. So whatever we're doing, it's all involved with that, whether it's the podcast or our TV show or whatever like that. So
It's yeah. a very beautiful blog. I'll say it's outstanding because you are a designer, obviously a cartoonist, but it's got this wonderful look and feel to it. It's not just like text.
What is the name again?
Yeah, it's kimandjason.com.
Kim.
Yeah.
And spelled out.
But I have all the blogs you've been mentioning on. Oh, I hate to sound like I'm grabbing all the URLs. Yeah. I have it all on my blog, which is on the handout. So if you go to my blog, look down the right, you'll find Jason's.
Actually,
you
go to escapeadulthood.com. That'll take you there, too.
So I think we're at the stage now, we've got another half hour or so, where we can, there's been hands shooting up, I mean, without it being a free-for-all. Scott?
I've had a blog for a few years, which is a reposting of my syndicated column. And then after listening to Rebecca talk in Denver, or actually listening to Steve Waterhouse talk all about Rebecca in Denver, I think, Rebecca, you had mentioned something along the lines of you're able to track traffic for posts, keywords that are searched for posts. So I started a new blog which talks about my weight loss efforts, and I went to TypeCat this time. And the old one was on Blogger, which I started about 6 years ago. How do you track statistics per post? How do you track the keywords?
WordPress tracks. Like you can look up any posting and click on the graph, and it'll tell you over time which days and how many. And
no, on TypePad, maybe you're more familiar. I can see the overall stats, but I can't.
Yeah, here's what you'll want to do. There are different stat programs, little snippets of code that you can embed in your blog. For example, I use two different ones. I use on my Snyder Insider blog, we use Google Analytics, which has the great benefit of being free, still not as full-featured as we would like it, but one would think Google will be on it pretty quickly. Google Analytics. Okay. The second one I use for communications is called SiteMeter, and that one's paid, SiteMeter, and it's really literally just a little piece of code that you embed in the footer of your blog, and so every page gets tracked. Who's on it? Who's looked at it? What search they use to get to it?
Is it easy to embed code in Blogger? I found a way to do it in the classic templates, but when they upgraded it, like
on TypePad, it is a little bit more difficult. But you can put it in. I use the advanced templates, and so I'm just embedding it right into the HTML. But I believe that's what you have to do in TypePad. If anyone knows different than that. Jump in, but I believe you have to be on the advanced templates to do that. And no,
I don't think so. No, you can do a notes type list.
A notes type list.
Oh, put it on the sidebar. Yeah, that's a good idea.
One of the cool things about the different analytics is you get to see a map of the world and where the people are coming from all over the world. And so it's so cool to know, in Poland, they're reading my blog.
Yeah.
You know, Australian. And can I just jump in with this thing about...
Yes.
So, like he said, he skipped 2 weeks because he was on vacation. Well, I pre-wrote five postings. Because I knew I was going to be partying here, right? And I didn't want to have to worry. I didn't want to have that pressure because I mean, nobody's going to miss it if I skip a day. But I internally... one of my fans. So anyway, so then I just pre-released them, set them to release on, you know, Thursday at midnight. And I release mine typically at midnight. So I I write it and then I forget about it. And then, because I have readers and, you know, that read it in Britain over the breakfast. So they expect it there. So they just that would be helpful to you so that you don't skip. So if you're on a roll, write 3 or 4 or 5 at a time and just set the date for when they'll be released.
Typically, how many words are you?
We'll go, I don't know. The one the other day was, 400 words, 500 words. Then if I get on a roll, it's,
But there's bloggers out there who just put a line. They may just say, oh, I found this really good link. Boom.
Yeah.
How do you release it? I know that
you can preset the date
at least.
I'm just starting a blog.
Oh,
so am I too?
Typically, you just say you write it, spell check it, and then you just say post. Right. This is a little more sophisticated.
You have to be hooked up with either like a feed biz or a custom
country. No, it's through Blogger or Typepad or WordPress.
This platforms handle it. You just bring up the window and type.
And then you say publish, or you just say save. And then you can set the date and the time and of when
it's like, sending a Word document to the printer.
And so they will release it.
Yeah.
Right. They tell you.
The minute you post it, typically.
And they'll send it to everybody?
No. A blog sits there like a website, and then people come to your blog.
How do you get people?
Well, that's
wave your arms and say, hey, I'm the dating goddess.
Yeah, that's like putting on Rebecca's blog.
You had a question?
Yes. I've had a newsletter on Constant Contact for a number of years. I'm a novice blogger. Are the blogs replacing the newsletters now?
No.
They really do two different things. I'll make my comments, and then you guys can. So they do two different things. Blogs are seen as current content, which is why the media loves them. And so they're quoting bloggers now a lot more because they're topical, they're current. So you can drive your traffic to your blog. You have an e-zine as a separate thing. It's really push versus pull. So the e-zine is pushing. You're pushing your content out to them. And you can cross-pollinate. Well, so in my business blog, I talk about my e-zine. And then in the e-zine, I say, these are some recent blog entries so that I get cross-traffic. But they're really kind of different animals. But they, I don't think I would have one or the other. If I had to only have one, I would probably have the blog.
Jim?
Well, I just wanted to comment on that and really ask the opinion of everybody else in the room. I'm baffled by how difficult RSS is for the rest of the world and why they can't easily subscribe to blogs. So I aggregate for them in my monthly e-zine, and I find an enormous amount of traffic when that e-zine comes out because it's just saying, here's the 5 or 6 posts that you really need to pay attention to from the last month. And some people read the blog that way. They don't have a clue how to access the blog.
If you have Feed Blitz, it'll give it to them every day in their email.
I also have a thing for here for Feed Blitz.
Feed Blitz. It's so make sure you have
people
that.
Put in there.
What was that word, Feed what?
Blitz. Feed Blitz. It's on the handout.
Blitz, B-L-I-T-Z.
Yes, I have a similar, I do exactly what you do, Rebecca, exactly. I have a sign up for my newsletter. My husband would be a little upset if I dated, but I have a sign up for my newsletter on the blog, and the blog and the newsletter always refers links back to the blog, and I experience the same thing you do, Jim, which is I send out the links, and on Thursdays my blog traffic shoots up because of all my clients who don't...
It's a matter of taking care of everybody.
That's right. How do they want to read your stuff? That's the whole point, right? Give it to them in the form they want it. So I have Feed Blitz. For those of you who don't know what that is, you heard the word. When they put their email address, it's like signing up for a newsletter, but every time you post a new something new to your blog, it emails them your article to their... That's the way a lot of people are used to getting the information. They want it quickly. They want it right then, but they don't want to have to go to the... they don't want to have to deal with an RSS reader. So there are many, many, many ways to take the content on your blog and get it in front of your readers. Your job is to figure out what are the ways that they want or need that based on who they are, and that's by having a relationship with your readers and knowing, which is the great thing about a blog, and then, filling that need for them. And that's really the key.
Wendy?
Rick's been trying to ask the question forever. Oh. So at some point we need to get to Rick, but go ahead.
Wendy?
Thank you.
So when they get this email through Feed Blitz, can they comment right through there, or then do they link back to the blog, and that's how they comment?
That's it.
So they just like to receive it in their inbox instead of receiving it by checking it at will.
That's right.
They say they like to read it when they're not connected.
That's me. I subscribe to a ton of blogs. And most of my reading time is on airplanes, for the most part. So I get all my blogs by Feed Blitz. And that way I can just open up my email and I can go through them on the plane or wherever I am. And then if I want to go comment or whatever, I'll do that later, you know. But
I want to add one thing to what you said, because I just discovered this like last week. The Google Toolbar, which I got a while ago, which is really, really nice. But if you have the Google Toolbar and you set Google at, you go to set My Google, you know, as your home page, it makes it really easy now to do syndication, because in the URL of any blog that's got syndication, it'll show a little symbol. Right. And if you click on it, it will say, do you want to syndicate this to my Yahoo homepage, my Google homepage, or something else? And you click it, and it just shows up right on your homepage. It's, I mean, it finally is easy, but you got to have the Google toolbar, and you got to have, I think, Google or Yahoo is your homepage.
Right.
So it took me 2 seconds, and I struggled with that stupid thing for months and gave up on it.
Sorry, Rick, you will patiently.
Harkens way back to Kim's situation. I'm interested to know what kind of communications, how are you managing communications with your subscribers, or did you just drop off the place of the work from your perspective?
No, they still receive my newsletters. You know, those that are subscribed to the newsletter, we definitely did not discontinue that. So the other thing that I did is blogs, depending on what platform you have posts that you can mark as sticky. And that means that no matter what gets posted after them, that post always stays on the top. It's the first thing that someone will see. So I have a sticky note on my blog which says, you know, this is what I'm doing and this is why. And if you have been reading my blog for any period of time, you have heard about, you know, I'm working on I call it the damn book, you know, because I can't get it done. I'm, you know, so I'm finally going to get the damn book done. I'm sorry, I got to, you know. And interestingly, someone asked me last night, were people supportive of that? And quite frankly, more than anything, what I got was, hey, I'll be the first one to buy your book. You go, girl. You know, and so they've been pretty understanding of that.
I have blogger.com, and I've been told you should go to WordPress. What is the difference between the three of them?
It's partly preference, but it's right. Platform. Okay, so blogger.com is hosted on a website. It's not on your servers, and it has the least amount of functionality to it because it's free. It's getting better over time because Google has been adding functionality, but it's sort of, and this is, other people may disagree with me on this, but this is the judge a book by its cover thing. When I go to a blogger blog, I kind of look at it and go, blogger, you know, like you aren't really serious about this if you're on Blogger. But that's just me.
Okay.
I see a couple of heads nodding. Then there's TypePad, which is also hosted, but it gives you much more functionality, much the ability to brand your, even it doesn't live on your site, but you can brand it to look just like your site. It's got, you know, really the more the advanced tools. You can even, for example, if you go to blog.kimsnyder.com, so that's my domain, it automatically ports over to my TypePad website, so you don't ever even realize that you're not on kimsnyder.com, if that, you know, things like that. So it's a lot more functional. And then you get to WordPress. Well, WordPress lives on your servers.
Well, that's true.
They have both. They have a hosted and they have a not. So, assuming, you know, if you're going to use the hosted, it's more like TypePad. But if you're going to use the server side software, it lives on your servers, as Ian said.
Yeah,
you're
it's
your
free,
own.
Actually,
it is free. It's
free in dollars, but you spend a lot of time.
Open source software, but you have total control over it. You know, but you are your own IT person, unless you've got
There's a lot of consultants out there now in the WordPress world, and just one thing I'll mention with WordPress, which is what I started with. I started with it because a buddy of mine who was also at HP was starting a blog at the same time, and he was a lot more technical, so I'd ask him to help me when I broke it, because you can break it if you've got, you know, if you go into these files and you accidentally remove one. But for instance, when I got into podcasting, WordPress has a ton of things called plugins, and they have a downloadable free plugin called PodPress, and it took me 15 minutes to install. I did my first audio, I put it on, and then it took about 2 days, and it showed up on iTunes, and I was like, what? You know, you got an iTunes music story type in Ian Griffin next to, you know, the Beatles or whoever. So I was pretty impressed by it. And WordPress, there are now people designing whole websites which don't even look like blogs, but they use blog software because they can quickly update the website without needing to go back to the system. Yeah. That's sophisticated. I should, by the way, for those who came in late, Patsy's sitting in the front, and her and Denise, she and Denise, her colleague, run the blog squad. And if you're not familiar with the blog squad, they are full-time on this, so we're like
One of the things I've noticed also is that these other sites find you that are in your silo, you know, in your topic. So now I'm a columnist in a bunch of midlife websites, and we did a podcast the other day where they interviewed me and they posted it. So it's like helping me get my publicity out because, again, they find you once you are a credible voice.
How often do you have to post for it to be...
once a week at least.
Yeah.
In order for
it daily's to be best. You know.
Before we take a question, I just want to throw a strategy out there and you know, proper credit. I got this idea from Dan Pointer several years ago. It's worked brilliantly for me, and that is to put pages on your blog which are the sorts of statistics and studies, the summary of the studies and statistics in your area, and you put them all on one page, and you just keep updating them. Every time you see a study or statistic or a number or a quote or a fact or a chart that's of interest, and here's the payoff. When someone, particularly a journalist, is doing research for an article that they are writing, I've also had, because I write and speak a lot on the subject of retirement and people not having saved enough for retirement, what that's going to look like. I have had people who were getting ready to literally testify before Congress who found my page on my blog with all these statistics, with citations telling them where they came from. They use my page, one page, to bolster, you know, their testimony before Congress. The journalists love it. They eat it up, and you become their, you know, go-to source. You know, thank you, Dan Pointer. That was one of the best tips I ever got, so I'm passing it on to you.
Scott.
Explain silo and a little bit of a description on Technorati.
Okay, and silo is just my niche.
Just means niche.
And Technorati is essentially a Google for blogs. You go and you register your blog there. You declare what keywords you're related to.
I've got some Technorati tags on this entry for Nan Andrews Amish. I put Nan Andrews Amish, her name, podcast, public speaking, and marketing.
Does Technorati make up the tags?
No, you make up your own.
And register your tag.
Right. And so mine are always the same. So I just cut and paste them each time and put them in. And also, when somebody comments on your blog, you want to encourage comments because it gets you more Google juice. Because you're seen as a viable... There's 75 million blogs out there. So, you know, many of them are, I had orange juice for breakfast. So if people are commenting, you have a community. So you, at the end of each blog entry, I try to put some questions that ask them to comment. And then if it's a new commenter, I have a little macro save that I thank them for commenting and ask them how they found my blog. And then I save their contact info because with RSS I don't have their contact info, and I'm building a database of all the people who've commented. And then when I go to somebody else's URL, their blog that's related, then I always make a cogent comment because you don't want to just be a spammer. You know, you don't want to pimp your own blog on their blog unless you say something, you know, it's a great thing and I agree, and, you know, have something cogent, but then you can sign in your SIG file your own blog. It's a little different. But then that increases the cross traffic, and I get a lot of traffic from my comments on other people's blogs.
So, Patsy, I just want to ask, because I don't want to ignore you, in a way you should be up here as well, but you've had this business now for how many?
Well, in 2004, when TypePad came out, I think that's where most of the rest of us who aren't techies said, oh, I can do this too. And that's exactly what happened. And that was the year that everyone started blogging for business, for business purposes. And I think of the 75 million, I think the only stat I could find was an estimation that only 5% of those were actually business-related blogs.
Business.
5%, you said?
Yes,
five.
Not very many. No. Which means that there's lots of room for you to get out there and start blogging.
Right.
I predict that in 5 years we won't even talk about blogs because all websites will be built on blogging platforms. It just makes sense. If you're in any kind of business where you're selling yourself, you need credibility, you need people to know you, like you, and trust you, and a blog is perfect for that.
Yeah. You know, just a comment on that. It's interesting because my company is interviewing interactive agencies, ad agencies, to take over our account. And one of the requirements is that they have what's known as a content management system, which runs your website. So anybody can put content to the website without being, you know, a web developer. And what's interesting now is there are several of the interactive ad agencies that we are interviewing have taken WordPress and have adopted it, customized it, thank you, that's the word I was looking for, into a content management system. And so they are just, as you, a number of you have said, they're just, every website that they build is really, deep down, it's really a blog, and you just don't know it because it's so much easier to manage than anything else. So I'm with you, Patsy. I think pretty soon, you know, the blog, it'll be like when people say, you have to have a website, and one day, you know, when we all said, what's a website? Well, one day, someone who doesn't have a blog is going to be the same as someone who doesn't have a website.
But there's still only 50 out of 4,000 NSA members have blogs, as far as I know.
Yeah, but there are more.
Maybe there's a few more.
Gotta be more.
Well, we need to get them. Sorry, you had your
question, and I'd like to invite you to a blog party as well. I'm interested in some more strategies and ideas. I'm relatively new at this, but had some pretty huge jumps in a few months that I've been doing it. And I write my blogs, and I just mount tag it and do all the stuff that makes the practice come in. It's fabulous. But so I'd love to hear some other strategies on that. And a few of us were sitting around at a party, none of the others were speakers, and I just started saying, what about having the world's biggest blog party? And so what we're going to do, and anybody's invited if you'd like to take it here, my blog is richestpeopleinamerica.com, and people are rich because they give. And so we're going to start a blog probably September 11th and go through October 27th, which is Make a Difference Day. And so if any of you have a charity or something that you feel called to support in a different way, I'd love to have you just sign up for a day and blog about that or somebody making a difference. And if you choose to have people, you know, like a sponsorship, sponsor you, and you give the money to your own charity, I'll track how much could be raised in that period of time. So, anyway, you're invited to the world's biggest blog party.
What's the URL?
Just give me a card and write blog party on that.
So we find you by going to Richest People.
Richest People.
Which is linked off your blog.
That's my blog.
It's linked on your blog.
Oh, it is. Oh, sorry.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
Isn't Sam on your?
Are you on my list?
I'm on your blog, but
TimRichardson.com
is my. There's
a couple of ideas for you. Yeah. You may already be doing them, but two good ways for me have been carnivals. Mm-hmm. Does everyone know what carnivals are?
No.
They're sort of difficult to wrap your brain around, but imagine a carnival that used to travel around from town to town, you know, set up the midway and leave. Well, these are lists of blog posts around a topic area which travel from blog to blog in the same way that the carnivals used to. So, for example, the one in my area is called Carnival of the Capitalists. Now, there are, I don't know, hundreds, if not thousands, literally, of these different carnivals. But so, Carnival of the Capitalists, there is a list of what blog the Carnival of the Capitalists will be on each week for the next 2 or 3 years because people want to host the carnival for reasons that will be apparent. So it moves from blog to blog, and what you do is you submit your best post for that week to the carnival. So most of them are unmoderated. If you send it, they'll include it. Some of them are moderated. If it's no good, they won't. And so then the person who's running the carnival that week puts links, you know, a summary and links and sometimes some commentary about your post. And they just go all the way down the list, and there will be lots of them. The reason it's so effective as a tool is that typically the people who host these carnivals are, if not A-list bloggers, very far up the blogger food chain. They already get huge traffic. And so it automatically creates, number one, a ton of, they're widely read. People click through them to your blog, and they'll find you. They're very sticky, the people who come through them. But number two, they give you tremendous amounts of Google juice because those links are incredibly relevant, incredibly credible. So find some carnivals and submit to them. There's directories of them, and I apologize. It was in my handout last year. There's directories of carnivals. Just
Google blog carnival.
Google?
Yeah,
Google
exactly.
What's on blog carnival.
You'll find it.
Blog carnival.
Yeah. So that's what, but then here's the other thing. Get on the list to host that carnival, which is even far bigger than getting your posts in the carnival. You want to have the carnival on your parking lot. That's huge.
Could we start, a few of us were talking about this earlier, something, professional speaker, motivational speaker, whatever, carnival ourselves.
Absolutely, you could.
Would that be an event? How many would be interested in something?
Yeah.
Sure, we could send that to
you. Yeah. Okay. And how would we?
Through the listserv. You would let them know through the listserv.
Through the Yahoo group. Yeah. We'll find somebody interested. One thing I know we've touched on a couple of times, but for those of you who do blog or don't blog, I mean, I assume all of you know that in your niche, everybody in the room probably has got some area they're focusing on. You can benefit as much by blogging, by reading blogs. And then people mentioned Feedblitz and RSS. Scott mentioned the Google toolbar. I use a thing called Blog Lines, and I probably have 20 categories with probably a total of 50 to 90 blogs, which I don't read every day, but it's like my own front page news that comes in. Because you don't want to go to, if you find an interesting blog, you don't want to go back every day and say, oh, have they updated it. And that's what this RSS thing does. It's a little complex for some people to manage to understand, but it's getting increasingly easy. But even if you don't write a blog regularly, if you're not reading blogs in your area, and that's what journalists are doing.
In fact, if I can just say something about that, I am and have always been a voracious reader. But I tell you how my life has changed. Today, on my desk, I used to read at least a book a week. On my desk, there is a pile, I kid you not, of books this deep that I have not read, and that pile has been sitting there and getting bigger for 9 months. There is another pile about this big of all of my trade journals and magazines that I used to read religiously every single week, and that is getting bigger, not smaller as well. The thing that I never, ever, ever fall behind on is the blogs that I read. The blogs have absolutely replaced for me all of the traditional books and magazines that we used to read. And I am not alone in that. Like you said, and particularly the journalists and a lot of the people you're trying to reach, that's where the fresh, new, interesting stuff is coming from, and that's why we end up reading it instead.
So on that same line, is there a site like Alexis that rates websites? Is there something that does that in terms of the best read blogs?
Technorati does.
Yes.
Technorati will say what, like when you go to find your blog, or my blog for instance, it will say what do they call it, the legitimacy of it or something is. They give it a ranking.
Okay, so there is something.
Right. Yeah. Just like the Google page.
Or if you go to Google, people may not know, if you go to Google and you can search the web, you can search for images, if you say more, one of the options is to search blogs. You can search for anything you want, find blogs. And I find, like in my focus area of my day job of speech writing, communications, it's easy to spot the wheat from the chaff. I mean, you don't read, there are a lot of rubbish blogs out there, I add orange juice, but when you find a good blog, there's a woman called Jane Genova, who's a ghostwriter, speechwriter, and she's phenomenal. She's got like four, I think, I mean, I don't want to criticize her, but she obviously doesn't have any life outside of blogging. Because she writes pages and pages and pages, about four blogs a day, keeps them up. Other people, though, this last name on here is my ex-boss called Andy Lark, a New Zealand guy, he's a VP of communications, and he adopts the other approach. He puts like, hey, I found this interesting, link today. But it's the most phenomenal, you'd go, in the old days, you would have gone to a cocktail reception and plied him with drinks, and after 2 hours, you might have said, well, you want to check this out, But it's in his blog, it's like, oh my God, this, the insight you can get in your niche, I think, is second to none.
Right. And let me piggyback on what Tim was asking. So when you go to those blogs, again, you always want to comment. And then you always want to contact the blog owner and say, hey, we're in the same area. Would you be interested in swapping blog links? And then you list them, like on my real blog role, I have other people, other dating people, right?
Is there a trick to discovering who owns
in the about? You look in the about, is usually, and if they don't always tell you.
Yeah. Don't always
mine says,
tell you.
Mine says about me.
Like, see, mine doesn't tell you.
Yeah, mine.
But mine, I always have my email address, which, by the way, you always want to have your email address at least because of the media. Because when you get contacted, and then when you did get contacted and you're on the radio and you're in the newspaper, I mean, it's common sense, but people don't do it, is to say, would you put a link for my URL? So I was on KCBS doing an interview, like a 3 or 4 minute interview, and I said, can I have a link to the producer? And she put it on the homepage for a week. Whoa. For KCBS. Wow. And so, or even like the Wall Street Journal wouldn't do it in the print, but I asked if they'd do it in the electronic. So you always have to ask the media, and again, that helps your traffic. And then I wish I knew how to tell you how to do this, but I'll tell you it's possible, and maybe somebody knows how to do it. So since I always ask the commenters, how did you find my blog, one of them said, well, I was going to my Yahoo adding blog content, and I clicked on the romance page, and your blog came up. My blog, I didn't do squat to have this happen. So mine is one of the top 8 romance content pages that they list, and they just click on it, and it adds it to their my Yahoo homepage. I have no idea how I got in the top 8.
Is it from traffic? I mean, is that? It's probably they create. There's things called radars, RSS radars. So they've probably created either custom feeds that are based on a search term, and a lot of websites are using these RSS feeds to create fresh content. Yeah. That would be my guess.
Because
you came up on
the other things
radar.
Listed are Yahoo and Match.com. I mean, yeah. Big. Sites, you know.
Let's get a couple more questions. And
I'm really new. I have had my blog for 10 days. So.
Oh.
I've got like 4 posts on it, and I'm still trying to figure out my voice. But I was advised, and this is sort of a two-part question, but I was advised to go on Blogger because Google owns it.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Google Juice all the time, and their logic was, yeah, there's oil. So
I think that's an urban legend.
Yeah. Okay, and the other piece of the question is, what do we put in our signature? Because I was told don't do too much, and then somebody else said, oh, you know, only do a little bit.
In your sig for a comment, or in your sig under the bonus?
At the end of every post.
Just go and see what other people do. Shep Hyken does a little commercial for himself every time. Brad Montgomery changes his every time. Steve Mertz changes his every time.
And then like Hot Woman in Phoenix.
I purposely have my keywords in my, if you have an interest in dating, question for Dating Goddess, then here's my URL.
And I don't do anything. I don't use a signature at the end of it. Every post.
Yeah.
I don't even sign it.
No, I don't sign it either.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why Steve and Brad said to do this. It made a lot of sense. They said because so many people get a feed blitz in their email, so it's a little advertising, and then they forward that email to
other
people.
That's a good point.
So you want your little ad in every posting.
Blogger before I'm too tired.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's fine. Ellen.
Yes, can I, in any of you, to explain trackback for dummies?
Pingback?
I think trackback's actually declining somewhat. It's a way, if you do a post and you say, oh, I saw that, Rebecca had a really good comment yesterday about dating, guys over 40 or something, you would link the content of her posting in your posting via trackback. It's like a comment, but it's automated.
It's a way to say, so I've included your post. I thought it was really good, and it's just a way to say to your blog, I've...
It's like a little bit of avoiding plagiarism.
Oh, I do internal ones. I point to my own postings.
Yeah, I do that too.
Pingbacks,
So when I use TypePad, where it says allow trackbacks,
you want to say yes.
You want to say yes.
Because other people can then grab your content and say, oh, Ellen had this really good comment, and they can write a blog about it.
And then I'll know about it because
it'll come back to
your comments. It also creates like a little superhighway between your blog post and their blog post.
Just copy the URL out of the address bar.
Well, this is automated.
Because I've been confused about that.
Yeah.
It's for people who are going to make websites out of WordPress or whatever. Will that have all the functionality of a regular website where you can add your video and all that kind of
stuff? Yes.
So I'm posting it then.
You are. But you're using the WordPress
So that's
engine.
Your server.
No, it'd be your server.
Your server, but with the WordPress engine. So if you go to my server, execcoms.com, on, you know, you're in the kind of administrative screens, you see /blog, and then you see all this WP-content, WP-admin, and there's hundreds of files that I automatically, well, I didn't automatically, it was a bit of a struggle, but I put them in there when I put WordPress on it. But that's transparent to my readers.
For a really good example of blog as webpage, go to 101cookbooks.com. This woman is a food stylist, a photographer, and a cookbook author. And her website is a blog. It's exactly what you said. And I'm totally addicted to it. And I don't even mind that she's making money off all the links and everything because her content is so good.
Yeah.
Does anybody doing stuff with Google Ads or anything to make money?
Yes.
Your thoughts on that? And
Brad is. The opinion I think is that you can get really ugly. And I make money through affiliate links I have with people that I refer to their ebooks, and I sell dating coaching of other people's and things like that. I'd rather do it that way than have all this crap, this AdSense crap running around.
I mean, one thing you can do is you can, when you refer to, sometimes I refer to books, mm-hmm. so you can sign up as an Amazon affiliate, and then you got a two-step thing. I think my Amazon affiliate account after a year and a half is like 94 cents or something. It's like not worth it.
How are you going to spend it?
Yeah. The question goes to, again, what is your objective? That's really the crux of the issue. So if your objective is to make money off of your blog, which is, by the way, pretty difficult to do in any great amount, but, if that's the objective, then by all means, all of those things are fair game. If you're, if in my case, I want Nobel, I have Nobel Prize winners on my reading list. I if they see an ad sent, an ad, forget it. They're going to turn around and they're going to run. So it's really a question of, what do you want to achieve and what image is it that you're trying to present, I think.
Well, it is 6:15. I mean, people should definitely go to the Yahoo group.